right, Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 1. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. Okay, so keep in mind, Solomon was king over the singular kingdom of Israel about 270 years before Hezekiah was king of Judah. Hezekiah was a king. He lived during the time that Isaiah the prophet lived and was often found sending his scribes to the prophet to get word from God. Good king. 1 Kings 18:3 says of Hezekiah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. And then verse 5 says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So Hezekiah, keeping in touch with the Lord. So he was very interested in doing whatever he could to stay right with God and rule the kingdom according to God's will and plan. And you're going to notice that this section has a lot to say about kings. And so very simply, according to this verse, Proverbs 25, verse 1, Solomon wrote everything in this section of the Proverbs, as well as everything preceding this section. Now, Solomon didn't write all the Proverbs. The last two chapters are not from Solomon. But here that says the scribes of Hezekiah, the king, copied this section out of Solomon's book for Hezekiah's use. Verse 2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Think about that. And thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord for that, for not telling everything that he knows about me. Thank you, Lord, for putting my sins under your blood. Thank you for casting them in your sea of forgetfulness and for concealing a thing. But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Okay? So now this is a little bit tricky, kind of tough. We have talked about this, but let me try to explain it in this context. If there's a man in the congregation who has fallen into some sin, as pastor, I've got to do two things. I've got to do the thing that's required of a leader and get to the bottom of it, make sure I know the truth about it, and just find out everything I can about it, root it out. And then I've got to do what a godly man would do, and not publicize it. Keep it to myself. It's hard sometimes to do both of those things. But if possible, that's what you're supposed to do. And if you've got loose lips, or you just like to spread gossip, God's not going to trust you with leadership. Because you've got to stand in that pulpit and know the worst mistake anybody or everybody in that church has ever made, and then make sure that nobody else knows it, unless it's necessary for the protection and the safety of the church, that everybody needs to know. And a lot of people just can't do that. They physically are incapable of doing it. But if you're a pastor, you've got to be able to do it. You've got to be able to do it without it affecting you. And that's tough. It's tough. That's why it's a good idea to preach through the Bible verse by verse. Because otherwise, what happens? People being what they are, it would be awfully hard for a preacher to not feel God, you know, leading him to preach about what he knows happened that week. See? And he just, you know, he'll say God led him to do it. But if you're going verse by verse through the Bible, and you found at the same time you found out that week that somebody was drinking, and the sermon for that night was on drinking, well, they can't say, well, you just preached that because of me. Well, it was just that happened to be the next verse, and you knew it was coming. So verse by verse, it's safe. It's a safe way to go. All right, verse 3, the heaven for height and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Well, think about the King of Kings and his heart. How about that? Verse 4, take away the dross from the silver. What's that? That's the impurities. Get rid of them. And there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Okay. Well, we don't like the fire, do we? We don't like the trials. But God, that's how God gets the impurities out of us, so that we can be a vessel that is meet. That means fit for the master's use. Verse 5, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. What is that? You can cross-reference that to Matthew chapter 25, the judgment of nations. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. And when the Lord sits on his throne to establish his kingdom, what's he going to do? Get rid of the wicked and establish his throne in righteousness. Verse 6, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Take the low place and let somebody offer you the high place. Don't take the high place and end up having someone have to ask you to move to the low place. Now, why would you take the high place unless you felt that you were entitled to it? You're somebody, after all. Think about this. Who's the ultimate example of one who sought to take the high place and then was moved to a much, much lower position? That would be Lucifer, right? Satan, the devil. He said, I will ascend. No, you won't. I'll put you down. Thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Isaiah 14. So let men give you a larger role or a larger responsibility in the work of God. Don't demand it or ask for it or expect it or consider yourself entitled to it. And of course, this, you probably are already thinking about this. It's included in the teachings of Jesus. In Luke chapter 20, look there. Actually, why don't you turn to Luke 14? But I'll tell you what Luke 20, verse 46 says. He says, Jesus said, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts. Watch out for those guys trying to make themselves somebody. In Luke 11:43, Jesus said, woe unto you Pharisees. So the scribes and the Pharisees have the same disease. Woe unto you Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. And then, if you're in Luke 14, look at verses 7 to 11. Jesus gave a parable that very closely teaches the proverb that we're looking at. Luke 14, verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Humility is right. It's always right. That's one of the big themes of the Bible, and we need to get that. I know the Lord wants us to. Okay, back in Proverbs 25, verse number 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Another passage like that is in 1 Kings chapter 20. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, had very boldly bragged about how he was going to take everything that Israel had, their silver, their gold, their wives, their children. And so King Ahab, the king of Israel, replied, get this, this is quote, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. What does that mean? Well, maybe you heard the phrase, don't count your chickens before they're hatched. Okay? It means don't start celebrating your victory before you even started the contest. You might be underestimating your opponent. Okay? And so, as they say, it ain't over till it's over. So don't speak too soon. That's what this proverb's talking about. That's a good verse to remember when it comes to witnessing. Go out there, go forth to preach the gospel. Don't go out there thinking I'm going to win arguments, because you might lose arguments. Don't go out to show somebody that you know more about the Bible than they do. You might be wrong. You might not. Somebody might put you in your place. They might tie you up in spiritual knots and walk off and leave you there. So be careful. Have a right attitude when you go out. All right, verse 9, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. Okay, infamy, what's that? That's loss of reputation or public disgrace. You might never live it down. So how does that work? I'll just give you one common example. Let's say a woman is having or perceives that she's having problems with her husband. He's not treating her right. Or she just doesn't think he's treating her right. So she goes around and tells all the ladies in the church, my husband's doing this, my husband's doing that, my husband's not doing this, he's not doing that, my husband, my husband, my husband, my husband. What do you think I ought to do? I just want your advice. Well, let me tell you something. If you think your husband's not treating you right now, wait till he finds out that you've gone all over the whole church exposing all of his dirty secrets and telling everybody about it. You know, about what he did or what you just think he did. Okay. See, you only think he was mistreating you. You're about to be introduced to real mistreatment now that he knows about it. You say, well, he shouldn't do that. Yeah, but you asked for it. So be careful. This verse is telling you, deal with him to his face. Don't go behind him and talk to other people about him or her. Deal directly to the person you have a problem with. If somebody comes to you in confidence, or you find out something in confidence, and you betray that confidence so that you can get something over on somebody, you know, oh, I know something dirty about them now, I can use that. Or, you know, now you can prove you're more spiritual than somebody else is. You better be careful, because people don't like tale bearers. Eventually they figure out you're telling tales on them too. If you're telling me about that guy, I wonder what you're telling somebody else about me. You know, because somebody that talks about people behind their back, they can't be your friend, because you're going to find out to your hurt that they are doing to you what they're doing with you. So just watch it. Don't get caught up in that kind of stuff. Put a guard on your mouth. All right, verses 11 and 12 have to do with the Word of God. Many people don't recognize that, but we're going to look at these two verses together. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Okay, so let me just list out real quickly what's clear, at least from the King James text, and not so clear if you look at any other version. Number one, the Word of God is seen and it's heard. Okay, number two, it's seen as the same way a picture is seen. Okay, and number three, it fits the ear as an earring fits the ear. It's very fitting for your ear. Number four, the word is seen as gold on silver. And number five, it is heard as gold on gold. And six, the word spoken is so vivid that it creates a picture. All right, so now we know that the word, or in the New Testament it says all scripture, is profitable for reproof. And this is talking about a wise reprover, right? So a wise reprover will be looking to the Word of God before ever speaking to the one who has an obedient ear. And then when that reproof reaches the ear, it'll be like a golden studded earring. Okay, now the picture in which the fit word appears is silver. The picture itself is silver. And in Leviticus 27, the people there are valued according to silver shekels and had to pay that silver as redemption money. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Okay? Redemption, silver. Okay? So, look at this silver picture as the people, and the word is clearly gold. Because you look all kinds of verses on that. Psalm 19:10 is speaking of the judgments of the Lord, right? Psalm 19 and Psalm 119, every time you see things like judgments, law, other things, it's all God's word, okay? God's word. So here, judgments, Psalm 19:10 says that his judgments are more desirable than gold. Psalm 119, verse 72 says, the law of thy mouth, that's God's word, right? The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And then also in verse 127, the Bible says, I love thy commandments, that's God's word, above gold, yea, above fine gold. Okay, so picture that silver picture in God's word, okay, and is gold. And so as the earring of gold fits the ear, it fits the ear, so the apples of gold fit the picture. Okay, all in all, if you consider both of these verses together and everything they're showing you here, the word fitly spoken is as valuable as gold. It's as refreshing as fresh fruit and as attractive as beaten out metal work, okay? Art that's made out of metal. It can preserve a man as gold. It can nourish a man as fruit, and it can please a man as a work of art. Okay? And these verses are, I guess you could say they're very deep, because most people don't even make the connection to the Word of God here. So if you might want to make a note of that in your Bible. This is talking about the Word of God, so you won't get confused next time you come across it. Verse 13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. That's another verse that's hard for people to get, because it sounds like there's people who are happy to try and harvest their crops during a snowstorm. Who would want that? You know, because it cools them off. Well, let me tell you something. You know this is true. If you've ever been in a place where it snows, if it's snow season, if it's a season where it could snow, it's cool enough. You're not going to get overheated. So it can't be talking about trying to harvest in a snowy season. In Colorado, my wife and I, we were up in the mountains, 7,000 feet altitude during the month of June. And there was a day that it actually snowed up there in the mountains during one of the hottest months of the year. And if you go up higher, you'll find snow piled above your head year-round. Well, snow was used for cooling drinks and foods as far back as 1500 BC. And in many places today, underground caves and rooms are used for summer storage of ice, blocks of ice that's been cut during the winter time. So even back in the 1920s, people could make slushy drinks and snow cones in the middle of summer. When they didn't have freezers back then, all they had to do is get out a block of ice from their underground storage and scrape the ice and make snow cones. So the idea is, if somebody sends you, in this verse, if somebody sends you to carry a message, and you're faithful to carry that message, you're a real blessing to the one who sent the message or sent you to bring the message. Okay, well, have you been given a message to carry? Okay, if you carry that message, you are a real blessing to the one who sent you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you are just as refreshing to your master as a drink of snow water would be to a laborer in the middle of a harvest season. In the Bible, Paul refreshes the soul of God's Son. Moses refreshes the soul of the Father. And Philip refreshes the soul of the Holy Spirit. These were the masters who sent those messengers in each case. And in each case, those messengers, that messenger was faithful. And we need to be also. Don't you want to please your master? All right, bring that message. Verse 14, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Oh, I got the gift of tongues. Yeah, and those storm clouds gathered and passed right on by, and we didn't get any rain. The crops are still dying. You don't have anything but talk. It's just talk. It's just noise. Oh, I got the gift of healing. Really? Well, then how come there's so many people still in the hospital? The wind blew, the clouds gathered, the temperature dropped, the sky got dark, but it never rained. See, it's one thing to look like rain. It's another thing to actually rain. It's one thing to brag about having a gift. It's another thing to actually manifest that gift and show that you have it in operation. Amen. Don't say, I'm called to preach, and then get up and prove that you weren't. You know, God called me to preach. Maybe it was a prank call. Better check the caller ID. That might not have been God. Might have been mommy called you to preach. Maybe daddy called you to preach. The Pope, another big blowhard cloud with no rain. Popes claim to have apostolic succession and pretend to be able to speak infallibly in matters of faith and practice. But no pope who ever lived could demonstrate apostolic succession, because all the true apostles in the Bible were given the signs and wonders of an apostle. 2 Corinthians 12:12. And those so-called apostles, those who did not have the signs of an apostle, were said to be liars in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. So, yes, popes, they can put on a really good show. You know, when they can demonstrate political power and they can move the people, but they've never been able to prove any spiritual power. And they got no rain. They got no rain. Now, I'm going to make this short. I'm going to stop right here. This is the halfway point in this chapter. And we have a whole lot of prayer letters tonight, so I'm going to make sure Brother James has as much time as I did. So we'll stop right here. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the teaching tonight. I pray, Lord, you help us to consider these things, to try to do that which pleases you, to bring the message that you've given us, you've entrusted us with, out to those that need it, that it may be refreshing to you when you see us obeying you. We pray, Lord, you'd help us to put a guard on our lips and be very careful with the things we learn about our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and not spread it around. We just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your word. Thanks for the blessing tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.